All right, so for today, I want to start a series, or we're going to continue the series that we started last week. It was called The Fear Nots of Christmas. And I know this maybe sounds like an odd subject for Christmas. Usually we don't think of fear, but as we talked through last week, there are a lot of fears that people have at Christmas time. And we talked about the fear of being alone, or the fear of not having enough money, or the fear of the credit card bill, or the fear of being around family that maybe you don't get along with, and all sorts of fears that we have connected with Christmas. And so we found last week, remember who we looked at? We looked at a guy named Joseph, right? And the angel pronounced to Joseph, "Fear not." Why? "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because this which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Okay, so we said we have no need to fear because of the promises of God. And there's all sorts of promises that God has given us to kind of hold us, so I don't have to be afraid. So don't be afraid, because God is at work. I just got to stop. This is awesome, okay? I know you may be thinking there's not a whole lot of people here, whatever, but having people tight and close is beautiful. It's perfect. So I'm not trying to guilt you or pressure you. I'm just saying, when we talk about moving pews, this is what we're trying to achieve. We wouldn't have to touch a pew if we'd all just love our brothers and sisters and want to sit and worship together, all right? So again, no guilt. It sounds like it, I'm sure. But just from my end, being able, it's like we're around the same table eating the same bread. Not disconnected. So I don't know. I appreciate you moving up and doing that for us here today. But anyway, this morning we're going to go back to the fear nots of Christmas. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. If you want to turn there, we'll be there in just a minute. We're going to look at a couple. I was about to call them a young couple, and they're not a young couple. But specifically, we're going to talk about a guy named Zacharias. And we'll look through his life and see what the angel pronounced to him, "Fear not." We're also going to see the promise that accompanied that, and then how that can work in our lives today. So to kind of begin, let's talk about where we're heading this morning. Can you remember being a child and being scared? Like laying in your bed at night afraid? And maybe you had a bad dream, or you saw a shadow, or you heard a noise, and it was just, can anybody remember that? Just that kind of terror? What did you do when you felt afraid? Yeah, "Mama, Mommy, Dad," right? We called out for them. And usually when I called out, it was more like, "Mom." You know, you were scared, right? Somebody may be in the house, I heard a noise, and I don't want to be too loud, because then they'll know where I'm at. Part of it was you were so scared you couldn't get anything out. And so you'd say a little bit louder, "Dad, Dad." And I can remember when they would say, "Yes, Corey." You know, or "What?" And I was like, "Oh, thank you." That was reassuring, right? Because you knew they were close by. They were listening for you. And they were there when you needed them. So I remember the peace very vividly from that. I remember having a lot of scary dreams as a child and waking up and just being scared to death and calling out for Mom and Dad and then being there to listen. Well, today what we're going to see is there's something real similar going on in the life of a believer especially. We're going to face fears, and when we face fears, we can call out and say, "Father, God." And God's promise we're going to see today is that He hears us. He hears us. It's just like that parent laying there going, "Yes, son. Yes, daughter." They're there for us. And so we'll find that to be true here in the life of Zacharias. So if you have a Bible, Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verse 8 to through verse 20. But here's kind of the context. Zacharias is a priest. He's from the priestly family. So is his wife, Elizabeth. They have tried and tried for many years to have children and never could have children. The Bible says Elizabeth was barren. And so they couldn't have kids. We find that they are Zacharias was a wise man. We know he was wise because he said of himself, "I'm an old man," and he says of his wife, "and she is advanced in years," right? So he's treating her kindly, respectfully. He didn't call her the old woman. He said of her, "she's advanced." So he was looking out for his wife as well, but never had children. They're of this priestly descent. And Zacharias was one of thousands of priests, okay? So it wasn't like one local pastor for a group of people. There were literally like 20 to 24,000 priests. And so these guys would come in on a rotating basis. And usually once a week or twice a week a year, they would serve at the temple. So it's not like there are thousands of priests running around serving. It's that when it came your time to serve, then your team would come in, take care of the orders of the temple, and you would do that for the week. So that's what Zacharias is doing here. It's Zacharias and his crew's week. They cast lots to see who's going to go in and burn incense in the temple. And so the lot falls to Zacharias. Now, burning incense was a time, they would do that twice a day, morning and night, and it was symbolic of praying. So when you burn something, what usually goes up in the air? Smoke. And so people would gather around the temple, and when they would see the smoke gathering and heading upward, they would begin to pray. And that was a symbol of what I'm praying is ascending. Does that make sense? So it's not like their prayers were riding on the smoke of the incense. It was just a picture of when you pray, they are going up. And they're going up where God listens, where God hears. And so that's some of the context, some of the background of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth were also known to be righteous. And we'll talk about that a little later. We won't read that verse initially. But they were known to be righteous in the sight of God. And therefore, they were known to be righteous people in their culture and contextual setting as well. So let's go here. Luke chapter 1. Knowing that about them, let's pick it up in verse 8. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Okay, so we've got Zacharias in the temple burning the incense. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And so just like we talked through. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. John or Johanan means the Lord is gracious, or it means grace. And so it just makes sense that the one who's preparing the way for Jesus is the one who's pronouncing the grace of God. Here comes the one who can take away your sins, therefore repent. So you're going to call him John. Verse 14. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And we see that fulfilled later. Verse 16. And he, John, he'll turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, probably like many of us would, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And so it is this morning. I want to look at a truth, a pronouncement, and also a promise. Okay, so the truth of the matter is, we talked through last week, Jesus promised us that in this life you will have trouble. You will have trials. You will have persecutions. We will suffer. But he says to take heart because he's overcome the world. And so part of that taking heart is learning how to cope and deal with our fear. And so we've got this pronouncement here to Zacharias. Do not be afraid. But we've also got the promise. And the promise is this. Do not be afraid because your prayers have been heard. Do not be afraid because your prayers have been heard. So before we begin, I just want to ask you, have you ever been in a position where you felt like your prayers weren't getting past the ceiling? Have you ever been praying a prayer and in the middle of it just kind of stop and feel like this is nonsense? It's just not accomplishing anything. I'm not feeling anything. I'm not getting any answers. Doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. I'm getting bored. And sometimes we may feel like God's not there, that he's not listening. He's not clued in or paying attention to us. But what this reassures us of today is that God's listening. So don't be afraid. Right? All sorts of promises God has given us to help us deal with our fears. One of those today is, do not be afraid because I'm listening. I'm paying attention. I know what you're dealing with, and I'm listening as you pray. So knowing that, then that should have some influence on how you and I pray. Okay? Knowing that God is listening should have some influence on how you and I pray. So think about it for a minute. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody where they weren't listening to you? Kind of like I'm having right now. No, I'm just kidding. Just making sure you're listening. You know those conversations like maybe some of you can identify where, you know, one individual in a home is watching television and another individual is trying to talk to that other individual? Yeah, I mean, I know some of you have a hard time with that, right? Some of us, I should say. And it's as though they're not paying attention to you. It's hard to talk to a person who's not paying attention to you, isn't it? There's no, like, excitement because that person's just, my pastor in West Plains, Brother Ronnie, he would get that way sometimes. You know, at the end of a service, a lot of people come by and he had his notebook. And they would say, hey, I've got this going on this week, or I have this prayer request. And so, like we do with our little sheets and fill out, he had his notebook. And so he's writing down everything as people are going by. And sometimes you'd watch him and, you know, he's, good. You know, and they're talking about, you know, how they just lost a job and how someone in their life is on the verge of dying. And, oh, that's great. You know, that's good. He's writing it, but he's just not clued in. And so you could see people kind of like, he's not paying attention to me. You know, so there's no heart there. But when that wife, when she hits mute on the TV to listen to her husband, you know, that's how it works, right? Well, it could be the husband. I don't know. We'll put the husband there. When that individual stops the television and turns their head to you and makes eye contact, then now the conversation is getting a little more live, right? Because you feel like that person is invested. They're paying attention. They're interested in what I'm saying. And so now we're talking with heart and we think that we're connecting, and we are connecting. And so that's what's going on here as well. When we pray, God's not turned a deaf ear to us. It's not just mumbling like, oh, I hope there's something out there that's listening to me. It's that God has pushed the pause button and he is totally tuned in to what it is that you and I are saying. And he loves to sit and listen. He loves to hear us pray. The Old Testament says, give me no rest. And that's God saying, when you pray, pray as though I'm trying to go to sleep and I can't because you just won't relent. There's a lady in the New Testament who was persistent in approaching a judge for an answer. And remember, the judge finally answered just so she would quit asking. And God's the same way. Not that he doesn't want to listen, but that he's saying there, be persistent. You ask and you ask and you ask. I love to listen to my children pray. And so some things that we need to know as we pray, praying with heart, knowing that God hears us. So first thing is this. When we pray, pray desiring God's plan more than our own. When we pray, let's pray desiring what God has in store more than what we have for our own dreams. And so what I'm talking about is this. When you and I are people who are to be Christians, and that was what we're talking about today. This promise is given to those who belong to God's family. And it's given to anyone who will become a part of God's family. But our greatest desire as Christians must be to accomplish what God has created us to do. Right? There's nothing bigger on the planet than to fulfill the very purpose that God has given us, breath. So it's having a desire to want to do what God wants more than desiring to do what I want to do in my own life. And we see this lived out here in Zacharias and Elizabeth. So think with me here. Young family, man and woman are married. Don't you think somewhere along the way, I mean children are part of the equation, right? You want children? I mean, hindsight may be a different story, right? But at that point, you're thinking, yes, you want a family. And so you pray for a family. And you try for a family. And you desire family. I'm sure all that was going on there with Zacharias and Elizabeth. We know that because the angel said, do not be afraid. What has happened? For your prayers have been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will conceive and she'll bear a son. And you're going to name him John. That's going to happen just like you prayed. Okay? So God was listening. But we see that they had a stronger desire for what God wanted than what they wanted. And you think there was disappointment in that home as month after month and year after year passed by and no children came? Sure there was. I mean, on a small scale, we've experienced that in our family. And there are 5 years between our first and second child, and that wasn't our plan. But that's how it worked out. And so you just want, what's happened? What's going on, God? And you pray and you just think, man, something's, am I doing something? Are you not pleased with me? Have I dishonored you? Is there something that I need to do? And you go through all this stuff trying to figure out what's going on. I'm sure there was some frustration or some disappointment in their home. I'm sure there was strong desire there as well. But what we see more than that is that they had a desire to please the Lord. Their desire was what God wanted more than what they had dreamt for their own family. And we see that lived out in how the angel answers their prayer. See, I think if they would have had a different desire, they would be praying things like this. Have you ever prayed a conditional prayer? Conditional prayer? Maybe you have. Maybe you have. Some of them go like this. God, if you get me out of this trouble, I'll stop getting into it. Remember praying that as a child? Maybe you still pray it. God, if you'll heal me or my loved one, then I promise I'll go back to church. You know, it's if you do this for me, then I'm going to do this for you. If you give me that better job, then I promise to start giving more to you. Right? Now, what all that says is I'm more interested in what happens to me than I care about what you have in store for me. So rather than loving and enjoying and living in the lot where you have me, I'm desiring more and I'm discontent. And so it's that conditional prayer. Do this for me and then I'll do this for you. Rather than if you never do this for me, I'll do this for you. Right? If you decrease my salary, if you take things away from me, I'll still do this for you. I remember that line out of the movie Facing the Giants. If you've seen that movie, the football movie, husband and wife in that movie are trying to have children as well. And the wife had been to the doctor several times and nothing happens. And she comes back out to her vehicle and she's waiting on a test result. And she says, even if it's negative, I'll still love you. Even if it's negative, I'll still worship you. You might remember the lines in that movie where it says, whether we win or lose, coach, right? Whether we win or lose, we're going to give God glory. And so that's the heart that we see demonstrated and displayed in Zacharias and Elizabeth. It wasn't conditional, meet this, then I'll do this. It was, I'm going to do this, but I'm praying for this as well. We see that in verse 6. Luke chapter 1, we see how they're described. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. And so we see their intent, their heart, was to please the Lord. They wanted nothing more than to honor their God. And so let's pause for a minute. Let's think about prayer. Is it wrong to pray for things that we want? Not at all, is it? And don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that at all today. It's not wrong whatsoever to pray for things that we want. Matter of fact, it's right to pray for things that we want. Jesus did that when he prayed, and we'll talk through that here in just a minute. But what must happen is this. Whatever God has in store must always trump what it is that I'm praying for. Does that make sense? So whatever God has for me, if that doesn't match my prayer, if they don't agree, then I always submit to what God has, rather than rejecting the Lord and waiting for him to answer my prayer. Just think about how Jesus prayed when he was in the garden before his crucifixion. Father, what? Take this cup from me. So what was he wanting? Jesus is wanting something. Take this from me. If there's another way to do this, then let's talk about it. And so we see it's okay to pray for what we want, but what we see is that has to submit to, what's the next phrase? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Okay? So it's not wrong to pray for what you want. God has put desires within us, and that's good. Matter of fact, God knows it, right? When I have a desire and I'm trying to pray contrary to that, you think I fool God? No, he sees my heart. He knows they're not saying what's going on within them. So be open, be honest, pour it out when you pray. Pray desiring God's plan more than our own. And so when we pray, his plan should trump ours. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15 says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, you know what the next three words say? He hears us. This is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything, all right, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. See, one of the beautiful things about desiring God's plan more than our own is that that begins to replace my own dreams. Right? So I no longer want what Corey wanted 10, 15, 20 years ago. Now, more and more, I'm wanting what God wants. And what does God want to do in my life? And so there, this gap of conflict tends to decrease in size. where it's, God, I want this, and God says, no, I've got this for you. More and more it's becoming, well, God, I want this, and God's like, and that's what I have for you. Right? My desire, as it's for the Lord, and as that grows, tends to quench those things that are simply not his desire for my life. So that conflict will grow weaker. And what you'll find in your prayers then is this. It won't just be praying the right words. Have you ever prayed the right words? Lord, not my will, but your will be done. All right, but your heart wasn't in it. See, as you grow in this, and as we grow in this, as this desire grows in us, I not only say the right words, but now I want that to happen. And so it wasn't, Lord, give me children. It was, Lord, honor your name through my life. Whatever that looks like. I'm still going to pray because I have a dream, and we're going to talk about that in a minute also. But more than anything, my desire is for what you have in store for me. And so as we live here, as we pray here, God not only hears those prayers, but he promises to answer with a resounding what? Yes. When I pray in alignment with his will, knowing that he hears us, John writes and says, we know that we have whatever it is that we've asked for because it's in agreement with his plan. It's aligned with his will. Psalm 37:4 says this, take delight then in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so we see the outflow of that. As that desire for the Lord and his plan for my life grows, and as I honor him by wanting that to happen in my life, the promise here is he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. Those desires that are in alignment and agreement with his will. All right, so when we pray, let's desire God's plan more than our own. All right, secondly, let's go there. When we pray, let's pray also believing that God can do what seems impossible. Have you ever not prayed because you felt like God couldn't do it? Have you? Have you ever prayed because you, or never, have you ever not prayed something because you thought God wouldn't do it? That's where we tend to struggle, I think. We know that God has the power, we just don't know if it's in the will or plan of God. And so sometimes we don't pray what we desire because we're not sure if it's his will. And so what we see here is we pray believing that God can do those things that seem impossible. Now we learn this here from the flip side of the coin from Zacharias. Zacharias is demonstrating some faith. So let's go back to the story. The context is the angel says, hey, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him John. And what does Zacharias say? How can I know, man? How can I know that this is really going to happen? And so we see this question here. The question that Zacharias presents is one of doubt. We're going to see Mary here next week respond with a similar question, only hers was one of faith. She was inquisitive, trusting. He was doubting what God had said, but he was demonstrating great faith. What was Zacharias' faith in? It was in what he had already experienced. It was in his old age and his advanced in years wife, right? I'm thinking it's impossible. You're saying it's possible. I'm doubting you. How can this happen? We've prayed. We've tried. She's barren. We're old. I don't see how. And so the angel says, hey, listen, I'm going to give you a clue how. I'm going to make you mute so you quit asking dumb questions. And then this is going to happen in the course of time. And then this is going to happen in the course of time. And so he was demonstrating. I mean, that was enough right there in that moment. Don't you believe it for Zacharias in the temple to all of a sudden ask a question and then be mute? The Bible goes on to say the people were standing outside the temple waiting on Zacharias. I guess he took a long time in the temple that day. It wasn't because he was spending a lot of time with the angel. What do you think he was doing? I think he was trying to talk. Don't you know he was trying to figure this out? I mean, I think it's starting to click. I could talk and now I can't. We couldn't have kids and he says we're going to. I bet it's going to happen. I'm thinking this is really a God thing. And so he's trying to figure it out. He takes some time there in the temple. When we pray, we need to pray believing what God can say. Let's look here at how the angel responded to the question of Zacharias. Luke 1, verse 20. And here's what's going to happen. What we just said, you'll be silent. You won't be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words. these words which will come true at their appointed time. So Zacharias' response was one of doubt in what God said. It was one of faith in what he could see. What did Paul tell us? We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And so we see Zacharias, a righteous man, a blameless man, a God-honoring man, demonstrating that as Christians, sometimes we doubt what seems impossible, even when God clearly says that he can do it. And so let's talk about some things that maybe sometimes we struggle with. Help me out here. Can God heal the disease? Whatever the disease is, can God heal it? And there was a race, or was supposed to be a race this past weekend, raising all sorts of money for cancer research. Can God just cure cancer? I mean, he could take care of it just right now, couldn't he? And so we say yes to that question. Yes, God can heal those, any diseases. Can God break a hard heart? Or can God cause a rebellious heart to grow hard? And we see that in the Bible. Can God reconcile a broken relationship? You got tension between a family member, or between a friend, between your children, between your spouse, and things have happened. But can God make that better than it's ever been? We believe, we say yes. Can God give strength to break a bad habit? Whatever the habit is. We shake our heads and say yes. Can God give us the power to battle temptation? Can he really give us power and deliver us when we're tempted? When we pray and say, God, I want to say something, will you help me keep my mouth shut? Can God give us just what we need to not say something? Or we're struggling with something that we're thinking or looking at. Can God give us, can he renew our mind and get our mind on different things? Yes, he can. Can God reach people who seem to be unreachable? Yes, he can. Can God bless us with a job? It seems like everything so far is, sounds like a campaign slogan, I'm sorry. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Can God bless with children? Yes, he can. Can God build his church? Yes, he can. We hadn't been here very long. Ran into someone in Walmart, used to be connected here, and said to me, you know what, that church will never amount to anything. Always be small, really have no influence, no significance. That's just the lot for Peace Church. Now, the truth of the matter is what? Maybe it will. Maybe it will. Or maybe it won't. Okay? Maybe it will, but maybe it won't. Whatever it is, though, the bottom line of the church is it better be for God's glory. It's all for nothing, right? And so we had a little bit of conversation that day. And what you got to know about Peace Church, just on a side note, if you don't know, we're not trying to be small, right? We don't say, hey, it's $10,000 to get through the door. You got it? None of us would be here. Right? So we're not trying to create some small club, nor are we trying to be the largest thing on the block, because it's not about the small or it's not about the large. What's it about? It's about God's glory. It's about fulfilling the commission. It's about making disciples. It's about you and I doing our part. We're part of millions and millions of people that make up the body of Christ. So you may see this church down the road as a competitor. I'm just telling you, that's my distant brother. And we're working together. We're on the same team. So you may think that it's small or insignificant. One is you don't know what's going on, and that was a long time ago. But ultimately, it's about God's work. It's about God's plan. It's about fulfilling his mission. Wasn't it Paul that said, I'm just going to do the work, and I'm going to let God do what? One watered, one was teaching, but God gave the increase. And so we leave those kind of things to God, right? We leave the details and the results to God. God's just asked us to be faithful to do what he's put us here to do. And let me take care of those things. And so what we have to believe when we pray is that God is this God who can do what seems impossible. So yes, he can do what's impossible. And yes, he can do it in a situation that I just can't see how he possibly could. By the way, isn't that when we tend to pray? How often do we pray for what we can accomplish? God, will you help me eat my lunch today? We have no problem with that. What we pray for are those things that we just have no way of doing on our own. God, you got to do something here because I can't do this on my own. And we're to pray believing that God can do what he wants to do, even when we look at it and say, no, that just can't happen. So whether that's children, whether that's job, whether that's restore a relationship, whether that's add people, whatever it looks like, God can according to his plan and his will. And so pray like that. Pray like that. Reminds me of David. You remember David and Bathsheba, you know, getting together there and they have a son. Bathsheba was married to another man, Uriah. David has Uriah killed. And so now he's going to take Bathsheba to be his wife. Nathan the prophet comes to David and gives him kind of this story. And says, hey, listen, this is what's happened. There was a guy that had some sheep. And he's going to keep them for himself. But he had a guest coming in town. So rather than sacrificing his own, he went and got somebody else's. And he brought it in and sacrificed it. And this guy over here had nothing. He brought his only sheep. This is my paraphrase. And he laid that on the altar and had sacrificed it for his friend. David was livid. How can that be? Who is this man? And Nathan says, David, the man is you. You've taken a woman that is not your wife. And you have a son with her. And boy, David's, his whole person just changes, doesn't it? His whole countenance changes. And he says to Nathan, I have sinned against God. And Nathan says, the consequence for your sin is that this son will be struck with a disease and he will die. And so what does David do? You know, we tend to cry and get broken as we should, and we mourn when people pass away, right? We find David weeping, mourning, broken before his son dies. You know why he's praying? He's praying because he believes God can do what seems impossible. He's praying that this God who has made this pronouncement can also see his heart of repentance and that God could do something, that God could turn this whole situation around. And so the people come to David and say, hey, David, come and eat. You haven't eaten in days. Come eat. And David won't go eat. Hey, David, get up. Why are you praying so hard? And David just prays and he weeps and he mourns and he fasts. What happens to his son? His son dies. And you know what David does next? David goes and worships the Lord. And after he worships the Lord, he goes home and he eats. And everybody says, why are you eating now, man? This is a time to grieve. This is a time to mourn. Your son has just died. And David said, here's why. Because while he was living, there was an opportunity. I thought that God might hear my prayer and see my heart of repentance and save my son. But now that he has died, he will not come back to me. I will go to him, but he will not come to me. David worshiped. He found peace in God's plan, even though it wasn't what he was asking for. But he believed that the God of the impossible could do the impossible in healing that little boy's life. So when you pray, pray believing. And that's just convicting to me here. How many prayers do we pray? How many times do we miss a meal because we can't quit praying? How many times am I disruptive to people around me? David, you need to calm down because of the brokenness and the burden in my heart. David prayed like he was believing in a God who could do things that were impossible. And he worshiped the Lord even when his prayer was not answered the way he wanted. Did God answer David's prayer? Yes, he did. It just wasn't with the answer he was hoping for. So pray believing that God is the God of the impossible situations. Leave the door open for what looks impossible. And then third and last here quickly, when we pray, let's pray patiently. Pray patiently, knowing that God will answer in His time. When you pray, pray patiently, knowing that God will answer in His time. Our culture, the world that we live in, is very quick, right? I mean, if I want to know how you're doing, I can pick up a device, hit a few letters, and within 10 seconds, I can know how you're doing. You can reply right back to me. I want to know the weather. I can just get on a little app on my phone, or I can get on the computer or turn on the television. Now, I was thinking of that here this week. How did people do that years ago? When there was no phone and there was no television. And they just got in their carriage and took off. I guess they just hoped to get there. It's sunny here. I bet it's sunny there. We live in a world where everything is high tech right now. I mean, if we wait more than 5 minutes at a fast food restaurant, we're complaining. Where's the card? I'm gonna write a note. Where's the manager? We want things now. What we see here in this story today is that God had plans. Here's what you got to catch. God had plans all along for this couple. You hear that? God had plans all along for this couple. They wanted it now, and then it didn't happen. Then they wanted it then, and it didn't happen. And they kept wanting it. And what the Bible tells us is that it happened at the appointed time. It happened at God's appointment. And so what I've got to know here is as I pray, God will answer in His time. Now, here's what we've got to qualify this with. That's not to say that God will answer every prayer we pray the way that we want Him to, right? What I'm not saying is just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and it will happen. You may pray for a loved one for their entire life and they never come to faith in Christ. Did God hear that prayer? Yes, He heard that prayer. And He answered. It just maybe wasn't the answer that we were praying for. So when I say wait patiently, He will answer in His time, it doesn't mean that He's going to answer with yes, this is what you, I will grant this to you now. But in His time, in His way, He will answer by His appointment. Let's go back to verse 20, Luke chapter 1. Again, talking to Zacharias, the angel Gabriel says, now you'll be silent, not able to speak until this day, or until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, these words which will come true at their appointed time. All right, at their appointed time. And when in the course of time, when these things are supposed to happen, that's when they'll happen. So does God have purpose in my life? Yes. Does God have purpose in your life? Absolutely. Is there a plan? Yes. Does God have the power to fulfill that plan? Yes. And so what we do, we pray. And we pray accordingly. Pray for His will. Pray for what it is that He desires more than what we want. Yes, pray for what we want. But then God, line my heart up with yours so that what I'm praying agrees with what it is that you've planned. And in your time and your way, you will answer that prayer. So is God's timing ever wrong? No. He's never late. Though we may wish He would act sooner, His timing is always right. And so as we pray, I just want to encourage you, pray patiently. Pray patiently. And so we've tried to look into this here a little bit this morning. God's told us, don't be afraid. Why? Because I hear what you're praying. And I see your heart. And I know what it is that you can't even begin to put into words. And so don't be afraid. Don't pray as though I'm not there. Don't pray as though I'm not listening. You're my child. And wasn't it Jesus that said something like, what father is going to respond to a child who asked them for bread with a stone? And all He's saying is, I have a delight in your prayers. I desire to answer. And so pray. Pray. And so we pray, knowing that He hears us, pray with His desire in mind, knowing that He can do more than we ask. Man, that just really got all over me here about 2 weeks ago. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him who is able to do more than we ask. And that means all sorts of things. One of the things it means is I don't ask enough. I don't ask enough. And one of them means I don't ask big enough. He's able to do more than we ask. Now to him who is able to do more than we ask, pray knowing that he will answer in his time. You ever feel like you can't pray because what you're asking is too big? Feel kind of selfish? God, you've given me health. I've got a roof over my head. I've got a church family and friends. And so we feel like, compared to people around the world, we can't pray for the desire of our heart. Paul says, pray. And pray to the one who can do more than you can ask or think or imagine. Pray to the one who doesn't see impossibility. You ask. You pray. And what I wonder today here as we close, one is this. Do we pray knowing that God hears us? Not hoping that God hears us. When I sit down wherever I am, when I'm standing, driving, walking, running, eating with a friend, wherever, when I am praying, am I praying as though you and I are having a conversation? Do I literally believe that there is someone on the other end who's listening, whose ear is attentive, whose plan is perfect, who's the God of the impossible, whose timing is right? Am I really praying to my Father who's listening? I wonder also, is there a desire to do what God wants with your life more than what God wants, more than what you want to do with your life? And I know it's easy in this context to sit here today on a Sunday morning when we celebrate a risen Savior and we come together with our church family as people who are dressed up. It's easy to say, yes, I want more. I want what God wants more than what I want. But man, when you look deep within, is there a desire? Is there a longing? Is that true? All kinds of wish lists being made this time of year. At the top of the list, would it be nothing more than what God wants? Nothing more than what God wants for me. Maybe you're sitting here today and you find yourself, you've been praying for something that you just feel like is not going to happen. Maybe you've grown weary. Maybe you've grown tired. Maybe you feel like you've been too persistent. It's just time. I guess it's not going to happen. What you've got to hear today, if that's you, is this. With God, the dream never dies. With God, that dream never dies. If we had time to look into the story of Elizabeth. Elizabeth was lit up. Zacharias said, there's no way this can happen. You got to explain it to me. And she goes home. Zacharias can't say a word to her. He's trying to do hand gestures, something. Brings a note. And we see that she's just elated. The Lord has removed this, what people assumed was a curse from me. He's heard my prayer and he's answered. And can't you just see that welling up in her heart? That dream, that longing, that desire that's always been there has been satisfied. He is the God of the impossible. So I want to encourage us all today, wait his time, trust his plan, and then believe his power. Don't be afraid because your Father in heaven hears you.